Okay, Matthew chapter number 6. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 10. Just the first part of verse number 10. As we are working our way through the model prayer, the pattern prayer, let me stress the importance of prayer. You cannot pray by proxy, meaning to say, you cannot substitute yourself in prayer. You have to pray. You can pray for someone else in intercession, but as far as the activity or the action of prayer, your mother, your father cannot pray for you. You have to pray on your own. And this is just basic life, okay? Nobody can eat for you. You have to eat for yourself. Nobody can study for you. If you want to learn math or you want to learn the alphabet, if you want to learn anything, you have to study for yourself and learn it for you. Nobody learns anything by proxy, by substitute. Nobody eats anything by proxy or substitute. And think about the action, the duty and privilege of prayer. Nobody can pray. If you don't pray, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. And so let me stress the importance of making sure that you are not prayerless. Prayerlessness, big sin. But Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. Matthew 6:10, we are coming to the second petition. The second petition. And if you recall, the second petition is this: Thy kingdom come. So if you remember the parts of prayer, we begin with the invocation. That's the calling on the name of the Lord, calling on the name of the authority, God. We address Him. And then there's adoration, there's praising Him and worshiping Him and lifting up ourselves to Him in prayer. It really warms the heart to think of God as Father and to adore Him. Hallowed be Thy name. And so we have that first petition, hallowed be Thy name, that God would sanctify His name, set apart His name, elevate His name. Make His name distinct, even if it is in our hearts and in our minds. We need to worship the Lord, adore Him. And so we have invocation, adoration, and petition. And now we come to the second petition in the pattern prayer. Matthew 6:10, Thy kingdom come. So when we say kingdom, it really is made up of two words. The kingdom here, you have a king and you have a dominion. Okay? Dominion. Sa Tagalog, sakop. May hari at hari at sakop. A king and his dominion, his realm. And when you combine the king and his realm, you're talking about his reign, his rulership. So who is the king? Well, that's kind of obvious. That would be Jesus Christ. Jesus is the king. And what is his dominion? What is his dominion? It's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Okay, we'll just use K-O-G, the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, K-O-G. And when the Bible says kingdom of God, ang pinag-uusapan dito ay ang paghahari ng Diyos at ang sakop niya, ang kanyang pamumuno, talking about his rulership. So immediately we're drawn in the second petition to pray and to ask God to establish His kingdom on earth. Thy kingdom come. Of course, the next petition, thy will be done on earth. We want God's kingdom on earth. So this teaches us something here, and we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But the prayer of Christ is concerning the establishment of God's kingdom in Jerusalem. Now, this is a very literal prayer. This is a very literal request, and it suggests several things about the kingdom of God. So when we say the kingdom of God, we can mean one of three aspects of the kingdom of God. Now, I want to share that with you. There are three aspects to the kingdom of God. First of all, there is the spiritual, universal kingdom of God that is present today. It is mystical. It is invisible. It is universal. It is there's no boundary to that. So this is the mystical. We'll call it mystical aspect to the kingdom. Spiritual. You could say spiritual. This is the realm of regeneration, of salvation. Everyone who is born again has entered into the mystical, spiritual, universal, invisible kingdom of God. Okay? And let's see. Look over at Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 17, sorry. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. Luke 17, 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." You can't see it with your physical eyes. Verse 22. Verse 21, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So this is internal, spiritual, it's mystical, this is invisible, this is worldwide, okay? It is within you, talking about regeneration. Romans chapter 14, go over to Romans chapter 14, and verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. Paul highlights the spiritual aspect of the kingdom here. This is the mystical kingdom aspect of the kingdom. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." It's not physical. It's spiritual. "But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." This is describing salvation. So when a person is born again, when a person is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by turning from sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, when a person believes on the Lord, they become saved. They enter into God's kingdom by being born again. Go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, this is the kingdom you want to enter. There's an entrance into this kingdom. There's an entrance into all the aspects of the kingdom of God. But since we're talking about the mystical aspect of the kingdom first, the spiritual aspect, this is important. Because if you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're not going to come into the kingdom of God. Okay? John chapter 3, verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him," talking to Nicodemus, religious man, powerful man, a man of education, a man of stature, a man of authority, respectable man, a political, religious man, straight arrow, good man, you could say. But Jesus told this good man, this religious man, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. See, it has nothing to do with your religion, nothing to do with who you are. You need to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You are not even going to see the kingdom if you're not born again. Look at verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So unless you are saved, only saved people will enter into the kingdom of God. And so this is where the confusion started with the church. Some Protestant teacher taught that this is the church. The kingdom of God is the church, you know, made up of everyone who's born again. No, that's the kingdom of God, or the family of God. You could say it that way. But it's not the church. The church is a local assembly of baptized disciples. So it's not mystical, universal, invisible, spiritual. It is spiritual, but it is local, visible, organized, assembly, baptized disciples. Very different from the kingdom of God, okay? So it's easier to go to heaven than join the church, okay? But the kingdom of God is through being born again, through being saved. That's the entrance into the kingdom here. Then there's another aspect to the kingdom of God that's coming. Jesus, when he returns in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back, he's going to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. We call that the millennial kingdom. So there's another aspect to the kingdom there. This is the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom, where Jesus establishes his kingdom. Look at Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse number 31. Luke chapter 1, verse number 31, and all the way down to 33. Luke 1, 31. Luke 1, 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So this is Angel Gabriel talking to Mary and informing her about the prophecy concerning Jesus. Verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, one of his names, the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So Jesus is in the lineage of David. He's a descendant of David. The Bible calls him his father, but it's more like his great grandfather or great-great-great-grandfather. But the point is that he's in his family. He's in the family of David. And shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So Jesus is going to rule and reign on earth, and he will establish a kingdom. Can't have a kingdom without a throne, right? Let's go on. Verse 33, Luke 1, 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. So he shall reign over the house of Jacob. That's Israel. Okay, that's the tribes of the 12 tribes of Jacob. And so he shall rule and reign forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. So this here, when Jesus was praying, he's praying for the kingdom to be established, the kingdom to come. Now, this kingdom is physical. This kingdom is local, because it's going to be centered where? In the city of David, in Jerusalem. Okay, so he's not going to establish his kingdom anywhere except for Israel. So this is a local kingdom. Get it? Now, the authority and the realm will be the entire world, because he's going to rule and reign over the entire world physically. But it's centered in Jerusalem and Israel. And so this is universal, the mystical, invisible, universal, spiritual. This is visible, local, spiritual. And so don't get those things confused. This one, you enter this through salvation. You enter this through salvation. And the only ones coming into the millennial kingdom are saved, born again believers who have gone through the tribulation. They've gone through Armageddon, and they've been converted. They've gotten saved, and they enter into the millennial kingdom. And so, so make sure you have those aspects here. This one is. This one's present today. Present today. Available today. Kingdom of God is at hand today in this regard. So if you want to go into the kingdom of God when you die, you need to be born again. You need to get saved. When you are born again and when you are saved, you enter into his kingdom spiritually. That's present. This kingdom, millennial kingdom, is future. So this is prospective. Or future. Hinaharap. We're waiting for Jesus Christ. We're not waiting for him to come and establish the kingdom. We're waiting for him to come and rapture us out of this world so God can judge Israel and God can judge this world. And then when he comes back with his saints to establish his kingdom, to fulfill Bible prophecy and establish the millennial kingdom. Then there's the third aspect to the kingdom. There's a third aspect to the kingdom, and this is the eternal kingdom. The eternal kingdom. See, the millennial kingdom will only last for 1,000 years. That's why it's called millennial. So you have 1,000 years rule and reign of Jesus Christ. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed again, and he's going to tempt some of the people in the millennial kingdom, and then some of them will rebel, and they'll join the devil, and then God will throw all of them in a lake of fire forever and ever, out, and they're eliminated from the kingdom. Then God's going to renovate the entire world, the entire universe, including the throne of heaven. He's going to burn it all up and establish a new eternal kingdom. And this will be permanent. This will be perpetual. Forever. The eternal kingdom. And that will be, let's see, this one will be physical and spiritual. It'll be universal. It'll be forever. And the entrance to that is salvation too. The only ones who are going to make it here are those who are saved, you see. And that's the kingdom of God. Those are your three aspects to the kingdom of God. All right? But when Jesus was praying, "Thy kingdom come," he's talking about the kingdom of God being established and ruling and reigning in Israel, in Jerusalem. Okay, so there are several names in the Bible about the kingdom of God. Some call it the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew 4, 17. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent.'" Why? "For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So you can call the kingdom of God the kingdom of heaven. A parallel passage, in fact, uses kingdom of God instead of kingdom of heaven. The parallel passage is Mark chapter 1. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. This will be the reason why we know you can interchange kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven is because the Bible does it. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. This is Jesus again, talking about Jesus. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So in Matthew, it's the kingdom of heaven. In Mark, it's the kingdom of God. There is no difference. It's just a name. You can call it the kingdom of heaven. You can call it the kingdom of God. The Bible calls it the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. You can call it the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians 5, 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So that's the name. It's another name. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Christ and of God. Same. Colossians 1:13. Go to Colossians 1:13. You can call it the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I like that. The kingdom of His dear Son. And I even like how the margin says the Son of His love. The kingdom of the Son of His love. Or the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh, what an affectionate term. But the kingdom of His dear Son. You can call it the everlasting kingdom. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. The Bible says, For so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a great name. The everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the kingdom that we are asking God to establish here on earth. And it's a prospective kingdom. We want it, it's coming. And we want it to happen. There's an entrance to this kingdom. We already talked about being saved. There are blockades to this kingdom. There are things that hinder people from entering into the kingdom of God. Okay? There, pride is a good example. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew 5, verse 3. So proud people will not enter into the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So if you're not poor in spirit, you're proud. Pride. Why? The poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So those that are humble, humble by the gospel of Jesus Christ, they understand their sinners, and they acknowledge their sin, and they turn to the Savior, then they get saved, you see. But a lot of people don't really want to think themselves to be sinners. They're proud. They don't want to repent. They want to keep on doing their own thing. And no, you need to turn. You need to turn from sin and trust in the Lord, you see. You need to admit that you are a sinner. And you're a bad sinner the way the Bible says you're bad. Not the way you think you're bad. Okay, if you even think that. So, pride is a hindrance. Trusting in riches is a hindrance. Matthew chapter 19. Look at Matthew 19. People that trust in other things instead of Jesus. Right? Maybe some people, they trust in themselves or their hard work or their riches. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because a rich man usually trusts or relies on his own efforts, his own work, his own riches. Money answers everything in his mind. Well, you can't buy heaven. And if you trust in yourself, you're not going to heaven. You need to trust in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, alone. Alone. Religion can hinder people from going to heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. You won't find a more religious group than the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, let's see here, and verse 13. Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes. Those scribes are the meticulous, carefully, they study the law. They're lawyers. They're secretaries, basically. And they're meticulous. They're all about the law. And Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Pharisees are the sect of the Jewish religion that are separated from everyone. Oh, they're holy on the outside. They wear white robes. They don't like to mingle with people. They're separatists. I mean, they're isolationists almost. And they're very religious. They pride themselves in external religion. Pharisees are hypocrites. Hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Religion can hinder people from going to heaven. That's why I'm here to challenge you. What are you relying on to get to heaven? What are you trusting in to get you there? Are you trusting in your own efforts, your own religion? It's not going to work. You need to turn from that and trust in Jesus Christ alone. You see, He is the Savior, not religion. And so get that right. Otherwise, there is no going into the kingdom of heaven. There's no salvation there. So there are things that block the way to heaven. And there is an entrance. There is a way. And you know who the way is? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ, by me. That's what Jesus said. So, the Lord Jesus will inherit the throne of David. We already saw that in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and to 33. the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. Here's a nice prophecy about the kingdom of God. Daniel chapter 2. I got to turn there myself here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hey, that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the millennial kingdom. Once that's established, it's going to take over all the entire world, and it will never be destroyed. Of course, there is the end of the reign, 1,000 years, and then it'll kick off. It'll then turn into the eternal kingdom, and that will definitely never end. So you have that God is going to establish this kingdom. It'll never be destroyed. This is the kingdom of God that was rejected. Okay, Matthew chapter 11. We won't read it all, but Matthew chapter 11. Is the moral rejection of Israel. So Jesus offered them the kingdom of God. They rejected it. They didn't want him. They didn't want him to rule and reign over them. They didn't want it his way. They wanted it their way. Okay. And then in Matthew 21, that's the formal rejection. And you can read about that. Matthew 11, moral rejection. Matthew 21, formal rejection of the kingdom of God. And but God will fulfill His promises. Amen? God said He will establish His kingdom on earth, and it will happen. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Go over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and He shall send His angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather His elect, talking about the Jews, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so He will be gathering Israel and will be establishing His kingdom and ruling and reigning after the tribulation. Okay? And so the kingdom right now is postponed. We are waiting. We're praying that God would establish His kingdom here on earth. Because when God establishes His kingdom on earth, you know what will happen? Every wrong will be made right. All the sorrow will be turned into joy. The curse of Adam's sin, the result of the curse of Adam's sin, will be reversed. The entire nature will be free from the curse of Adam's sin. And there'll be no war. You see, this is the golden age of the earth. The millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is far better than the kingdoms of this world. Amen? Amen. So, you know, people say, well, you know, Biden won, you know, Trump lost, you know, who cares? Because the kingdom of God is on its way, and His kingdom, His rulership, it's not going to last for 4 years or 6 years, like, you know, the president of the Philippines will be having an election in, what, 2022, and it's, you know, who knows what that election is going to be like. There'll be no election on the day of Christ. And when the Son of Man returns, He's king. It's a monarchy, friend. And His kingdom far, far, far better than the kingdom of this world. You know, kings take care of their subjects. Kings provide for their citizens, you know. And you won't find a better king than Jesus Christ. The most important aspect of the kingdom, the most important aspect of the kingdom is the king. He's the centerpiece. That's the most important thing. Hey, Jesus Christ is coming, and He will rule and reign. If you are a believer in the Lord, you should prepare yourself to serve the King. You ought to serve Him now. Right? How are you serving the Lord now? Yeah, you serve Him in the local church. The church is God's ordained place of worship in this dispensation. Now, when it comes to the millennial kingdom, what's going to be His place of worship? The temple, the millennial temple, which will be established in Jerusalem. That'll be the center of worship. But for us believers, New Testament born-again believers, we have this life to prepare for the eternal kingdom. We need to serve Him now. By the way, there's going to come a judgment seat of Jesus Christ. He is going to reward us for our service. Good works is not the basis of salvation. But I'll tell you something. Good works will be the basis of His rewards. Okay, we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's no doubt. That's sure. That's clear in the Scriptures. But how you serve the Lord, you're going to answer to God. You're going to answer to the Lord. He is going to ask you, how did you build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? How did you build? How did you serve? And there will be loss of rewards. You can lose your crown. 1 John chapter 4 talks about that. Losing your crown, losing your reward, being ashamed at His coming. Oh, a Christian can be found to be sleeping instead of serving, to be backslidden instead of on fire for the Lord. Oh my, we better serve the King of Kings now. And we will not regret one day of serving the Lord when the King comes back. I mean, He'll bring His rewards with Him. And you know what we're going to do with all those things, the rewards that Jesus is going to give us? You know what we're going to do? The Bible says, we're going to cast our crowns at His feet. And because He is the only one who's worthy. It's not like we were so special or we were so worthy. No, you know what we deserve? We deserve a lake of fire. We don't deserve heaven, the kingdom of God. That's something that God does for us when we got saved and born again. That's the goodness of the Lord for us. We ought to serve Him. If you're a born-again Christian and you are not serving the Lord, shame on you. It's not going to be good for you at the judgment seat of Christ. You can guarantee that. But you can. The way to change the future is to change the present today. So get on fire for the Lord. And you can begin serving the Lord earnestly in prayer. You can begin serving the Lord on your knees, praying sincerely, asking the Lord, seeking the Lord, asking Him to establish His kingdom on earth. You see, you want that. That's what we want. We want God to rule and reign on this earth. We certainly don't need another political party. We certainly don't look to man. That'll be the Antichrist anyway. We look to God. We look to Jesus Christ. We have tasted of the kingdom of God already if you're saved. You already tasted that mystical kingdom of God in you when you got saved. Don't you want more? Well, there's more to come because we have the millennial kingdom, then we have the eternal kingdom. Oh, there's more. There's more. And when we say, thy kingdom come, we're saying, God, we want more of your reign upon us, your rulership upon us. We want more of that. We desire your fullness of ruling and reigning over this world. It helps us live for the future. It helps us serve the King of Kings when we turn our attention to the kingdom of God. We think about that and we live for that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The second petition that we're learning about. Thy kingdom come. We certainly want to see that. Now, let me just say, if you're not saved, get saved. Get born again. Come to know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that will be a tragedy. That would be a tragedy. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can pray in your will and desire the things that you desire. We desire for you to be worshipped and adored. We desire for you to be lifted up in our hearts and in our minds. But Lord, we also look forward to the day when Jesus Christ will come back and will establish this mighty kingdom on earth to rule and reign over this world. our governments and man-made systems are failure, Lord. But never the king, never his rule and reign has ever failed us. And we look forward to that time when Jesus will rule and reign in Israel, in Jerusalem, over the throne of David. And as born-again believers, we get to sit by him, stand beside him, and enjoy a perfect fellowship with our King, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, your kingdom would come. That would be a glorious day for us, an eternal glorious day. We love you. We ask that you would bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right.